This past Sunday, there was a front page piece in the New York Times Arts and Leisure section that marveled at a number of recent Broadway productions, all featuring great ensemble acting. Prominent among them was the new Conor McPherson play, The Seafarer. It's about five alcoholics in Ireland playing poker on Christmas Eve with the stakes much higher than anyone could have expected. With me now are Jim Norton and David Morse, who play the brothers Richard and James Sharkey Harkin. And I'm very pleased that they were both able to join us. Hi.
Good morning. Hi.
Jim, the Seafarer was just produced at the National Theatre in London about a year ago, right?
That's right. Yes.
How many people from that production came over to Broadway?
Two of the original cast are here, myself and Conleth Hill.
So everyone else is new?
Everyone else is new and wonderful, yes.
Conleth Hill is amazing. I ask, where has he been all my life?
Yeah.
But since it's such a small cast, what's it like working with so many new actors and coming up with that ensemble sensibility?
Well, it was a very enjoyable experience. I mean, from my point of view, I had 5 months off from the show, so coming back to it afresh, it was good to re-examine the whole process again. I mean, the great joy of this production is that Conor McPherson is directing it, so you have the man who wrote it in the room, so you don't waste much time agonizing about what the play is about because he's there.
Is this the first time he's directed one of his own plays?
No. He did. I've worked with him on five of his plays now. Mm-hmm. And he directed, I think, four of those productions.
And have you been in any productions where he didn't direct?
How does
that differ? I know Edward Albee sometimes directs an early production of a play, and then somebody else will come in, and they'll talk about just how different they turned out to be.
Yeah, the first play of his that I did was a play called The Weir, which we did on Broadway a couple of years ago. And that was directed by Ian Rickson, who is the artistic director of the Royal Court. And then Conor was there at every rehearsal, but he wasn't there considered the person to direct it. But then his next play, which is called Port Authority, he did direct. And from there on in, he's directed all his plays.
Now, David, you are one of the new cast members. I think people who see the play will be surprised to learn that you're not Irish.
Well, that's nice to hear.
It's a perfect Dublin accent, I can guarantee that.
So how did that work? First of all, when you try out for a part and you've never done an Irish accent before, how do you convince somebody to cast you?
Well, I've done plenty of bad Irish accents alone in my house. You know, we all think we know what an Irish accent is. And then you get out there with all these gentlemen, you find out what a real one is. Actually, the play that Jim was talking about, Port Authority, when Conor asked me to do the play, he sent me this recording of Port Authority, which I listened to many, many times, and listened to Jim many, many times with his beautiful voice. And that was very helpful, a good way to kick off.
Because you're playing his brother, you have to sound like you are brothers.
That's right, and that was one of the things. I wanted to kind of have a good sense of what the dialect would be. But then really, when I met Jim finally, because we are brothers, get to really refine what it would ultimately be.
Although you play brothers who've been somewhat estranged, and you're trying to get past some of those past difficulties. It's not the easiest thing in the world. You have very different kinds of people.
That's true. Well, they come from a very damaged background, these two men. I mean, obviously, their parents weren't the greatest in the world. They probably did the best from what they knew, but they didn't know very much.
And your character is a pain in the butt.
He is a pain in the butt, yeah. Well, I mean, there are reasons for that. He's recently lost his sight. He's very frightened. He's very needy. But he doesn't have the emotional grammar to ask for what he wants. And he wants his brother's affection, and he loves his brother. But they are unable, because of the culture they come from, to speak those words to each other. So they take a rather convoluted journey in order to get together, which they do eventually.
Well, yeah. A lot of the comedy is physical, and yeah, to some degree that's also because of the character, the fact that your character you're playing has only gone recently blind. Mm-hmm. You decided not to play him with dark glasses?
When we did it originally, we had all kinds of, you know, obviously discussions about should he wear dark glasses, they wanted to put lenses in so I couldn't see at all. We experimented with all of that, but eventually Conor, as is usual with him, may have the decisive vote. And what he said, I want to see your baleful blue eyes looking out at the audience. That's all I want to see. So I said, fine, I'll try and do that.
So you just throw your eyes out of focus?
Yeah, I it's hard to explain because I sometimes don't even know what it is. But I do defocus so I don't actually see anything. I don't see my fellow actors, which is very frightening because, you know, when you're on stage, you need your fellow actors. But I don't have any eye contact with them, because nor does my character. In fact, one of the frustrations of Richard, the character I play, is that he can't read other people's body language. He's no idea what effect he's having, which is why he keeps pounding and driving away to get attention. And at the curtain call, in fact, when I come on for the curtain, I have been defocused all evening. I really can't see then.
Wow.
And David very kindly always grabs my hand in a kind of fraternal gesture, which is really about keeping me upright so I don't fall into the first row.
No, it's really about your brilliant performance.
Oh, thank you.
But it's also got to be interesting, acting, since acting is so much about reacting. A lot of actors tell me they don't even like monologues because part of the fun is being there with somebody else. Mm-hmm. What happens when you're talking to somebody who you know can't see you, even though you know he can see you?
You know, it was one of the things that happened over the course of rehearsals, and especially when we got out there in front of the audience. My nature is to listen and to you know, be focused on the person in front of me, and I was that way with Jim in the course of the play. And Connor kept saying, no, bring it out to the audience, but this is my brother, you know, and he said, but he's blind, he doesn't see you. Over the course of performing this, I realized I look at him less and less because I know he can't see me.
Mm-hmm.
That the relation, and what happens is then the relationship with the other people, with Ivan, there's a whole world that happens because he can't see us. We all have a communication around him.
Did the strike affect the production in any way? Were you supposed to go on earlier?
Oh yeah, we had our opening night canceled twice because of the strike. It was a pretty traumatic time for us all because it was nearly 3 weeks, and we just hung in together. We decided we'd just stay tight, and we used to meet every day and just support each other, because there were moments when some of the actors said, I want to go home, I can't take this. And in fact, the producers very kindly gave us the opportunity to leave and come back if we wanted to, but we all decided to stay. So we met and we read other plays. We read Juno and the Peacock, and David was fabulous playing the captain, and we all took a chance to play Juno because we all wanted to play the woman's part. So that was fun.
Well, do you think that actually contributed to this incredible ensemble sensibility?
I think it made the ensemble tighter, and it's a terrific group that we have. It's very democratic. We all get on very well, and it's a very happy show.
You know, I think one of the things, obviously, Conliffe and Jim coming over here had gotten a lot of attention for their work, and their work is just, both of them was just spectacular in this. And I think the other three of us felt that there had been a bar set very high, and we all wanted to really, you know, come up to that bar. We felt a lot of pressure to really make this show perfect, to measure up to these fellas. And I think during those almost 3 weeks sitting around the table, the other three of us could sort of relax a little bit. And I think that's where the ensemble really started to come together.
Because I've always wondered why there isn't more of an ensemble feeling in every production. After all, the level of acting in the world right now is pretty high. But there's something that doesn't click. You know, they talk about chemistry. Mm-hmm. And when it does, it feels magical for the audience.
Yeah, it's magical for the actors too. I mean, I come from that background. I love working with an ensemble. That's why I love Connor's plays, because he writes ensemble theater. I mean,
there are no star turns.
Exactly. The tradition of maybe lots of Broadway shows is there's a star and there are supporting actors. But with Connor's plays, everybody is of equal importance.
My guests are Jim Norton and David Morse, two of the actors, I was going to say stars, but everyone, all five are stars. Of The Seafarer, now at the Booth Theater at 222 West 45th Street. If you want some information on tickets, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. We have a little clip from the play, and you want to listen to it?
Yeah, sure.
God, I had an awful dream the other night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I dreamt that I could see. I dreamt that I woke up and I could see, and that being blind had been a dream. And I dreamt the sun was shining in through the window there, and there just sitting on the windowsill was a blue bottle or a horsefly just looking at me. Did you ever notice about those things? The whole head is nearly their eyes. Two big black footballs on the whole two sides of their head. And I was just staring at him, and he was just staring at me, as much as you can tell, if he's looking at you at all. What does he think of me, I was wondering, as we were kind of communing with each other there. And there was such comfort in his blank, unseeing regard for me, Mr. Lockhart. You just know that God is in the fly, don't you? The very existence and the amazing design in something so small and intricate as a blue bottle is God's revelation, really, isn't it? Now, don't you feel that?
Except they seem to like the taste of so much, don't they?
Yeah, well, that only adds to their intrigue.
Yeah, the wonderful voice of Ciarán Hinds there is Mr. Lockhart.
Now, a number of reviewers revealed an important fact about Mr. Lockhart. And I know some people were disappointed to have been told that. I don't know how far we should go with it ourselves. But do you think it really matters?
I don't know. I mean, I personally wouldn't actually give away the secret of the play, but I think it's pretty well out there now that one of the characters is not what he seems, and he is the devil, and he has come to play for the soul of David Morse's character.
And that's what makes this play kind of unconventional, because it, on one level, it's a realistic play about a number of people who are alcoholics. Although in Sharkey's case, he is trying not to drink because he's been having a lot of trouble as a result of his drinking. But we have a bunch of alcoholics and some very funny lines. This is truly a comedy.
Oh yeah, it is.
And then we have this other thing, this supernatural, almost religious.
Yeah, well, this is the genius of, I think, of Connor's writing, that he can write on so many levels at once, and he introduces an element of magic realism into the play that's totally acceptable. The audience accepted totally because he writes so brilliantly. I mean, one critic described him, I think, as an Irish recording angel, and I think that's what he is.
Well, do you think this play would have a different response from an Irish audience? I know it's been in Britain and here, but I don't know if it's ever been performed.
It hasn't been. It's about to be performed in Dublin. There's going to be a production in the spring at the Abbey Theatre, yeah. Now, I mean, I think the great thing about Connor's plays is, even though they're all set in Ireland and set in a specific part of Dublin, most of them, apart from the Weir, they have a universality. They speak to everybody, because he writes plays about the human condition. He writes plays about, you know, loss and redemption, and manages to make them fabulously entertaining. You know, they're very funny plays.
Yeah, somebody was saying that The Weir has played all over the world in countries like Japan. Mm-hmm. You know, totally fascinated by this, because that element of spirituality, I think, touches, you know, every community. And he just does it so beautifully.
Yeah, no, he has this amazing gift. I mean, he has said, you know, he said, we all die alone, so let's get together and try and make it a bearable process.
Well, David, your character is trying to remain sober, as I said. He's quite miserable, obviously very damaged, keeps a lot to himself. And because of that, yours is they're all physical performances, but you really have to express an awful lot through body language, because you're not saying the things you're thinking.
Which is great fun. It's actually one of the things when I read the play that appealed to me is so much is said in the silence, so much is experienced internally, really just listening to this world around him, and there's a lot to listen to in this play.
You were last here to talk about How I Learned to Drive, and you've tended to play a lot of sinister roles. Sharkey is a bit different. I mean, there's a dark side to Sharkey.
Thank goodness. Actually, when the play came to me originally, the role of Lockhart that Ciarán plays was not cast, and both roles were available. And I was asked, you know, what I'd be interested. Not Connor had asked me, but my people represented me, and I read, you know, the play with both roles in mind. And that role of Lockhart is just, you know, who would not want to speak those words? They're beautiful.
And Ciarán does it amazing.
Oh, it's a wonderful.
He's a great actor.
Yeah. Thank God I didn't do that role. But because I had played a lot of, you know, fellows and people on the dark side, there was something about this man who has really never experienced love, who really needs to be loved. And in this play, he finally gets that little glimpse of what love is.
The other kind of physicality here is also people who are drunk. Uh-huh. And drunk is always a problem factor, isn't it? Because the natural tendency is to lurch around a lot, stumble.
Yes. Yeah, we talked a lot about that initially. I mean, there are the gradations of drinking. And, of course, as Connor pointed out to us, we all have different metabolic rates. And we would naturally get drunk in different ways. So that's all been very carefully watched and calibrated and choreographed. So it isn't just five guys falling around the stage.
Was it harder for you? Because I hear that you did not drink until you were 27 years old.
This is true. Well, I'm a lot older than 27 now. In fact, tomorrow I have the big birthday.
Well, wasn't that rare?
Yeah, I guess it was.
Even in Ireland?
Yes, I went to the Christian Brothers. I became what they call a pioneer, which means that you wear the badge and you don't drink. And when I got to 27, I thought, well, maybe I will try a bottle of Guinness. And I enjoy wine with my meals, but I'm not a drunk.
Tomorrow's your birthday?
Tomorrow is my 70th birthday.
Oh, wow.
And tomorrow I celebrate the fact that I've been in this wonderful profession of ours for 50 years.
Now, David, you've done a lot of television also. People will recognize you from St. Elsewhere and House more recently. But then it's television and theater mostly. Do you see a link between the two?
A lot of film as well. I'm not sure that there's a link. The link for me, as much as anything, is the ensemble. The very first film I did, a film called Inside Moves, really was an ensemble. St. Elsewhere, one of the great ensembles. This play, wonderful ensemble. And it's always been, I think, my favorite work and experience is to work within a great ensemble.
And is this an open-ended run?
I'm not quite sure. Yes, it is. I think officially it ends at the end of March, but there are talks about the possibility of it running on after that.
It's just got wonderful reviews, deserved, and it is hilarious and at the same time the kind of thing that you walk out of talking about it for another hour or so, which is, I'm sure, a great pleasure for you to know that you're doing that sort of thing. And I want to thank you both so much for being with us. Jim Norton, who has reprised the role of Richard Harkin, for which he won the 2007 Olivier Award, in the Seafarer in London now and in New York at the Booth Theater. David Morse plays James Sharkey Harkin. If you want more information about tickets and stuff, go to our show page at wnyc.org.